I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show.
Stayallday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Work on Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. Now, that's DreAllDay.com/audible. All the cool people tune into the podcast where you learn the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence of putting yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue to show up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you expected has yet to arrive, has yet to occur. And on top of all that, a huge dose of personal initiative, the go-getter energy, the go-getter spirit for you to go make things happen instead of waiting for them to happen. When we put all this together, you know what you get? Do you know? You get the mindset in a podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. You're in a great place because you're here right now. Congratulate yourself for that. And today's topic is, if your next chance was your last. If the next thing you did, or whatever it is that you do, the thing that you do, you really do, whether that's your job, if it's a sport that you play, if it's the business that you run, if it's something that you do outside of your work, something that you do when you're not at work, when you're not around your family, something that means a lot to you, whatever that is with you, if your next chance to do it was your last, if your next chance to deal with a certain group of people, or your next chance to address a certain audience, or your next chance to play your game, or to do your job, or make a presentation, or whatever it is that you do, this could be in several areas of your life. If your next chance was your last, what would be different? What will be different if your next chance was your last as compared to the last effort that you gave, or the effort that you're giving right now, or the effort that you may be setting yourself up to give today, or the effort that you gave today if the day has already ended for you? What will be different if your next chance was your last from what you last did? Allen Iverson, a basketball player, everybody's heard of Allen Iverson. This guy's an icon, a legend in the game, and not just via basketball. He influenced the entire hip-hop / sports culture, because they're very much intertwined. When you had people wearing cornrows, you had athletes wearing a whole lot of jewelry, wearing baggy clothes, wearing jerseys. Allen Iverson was the one who made it cool. Allen Iverson allowed a lot of undersized, quote-unquote undersized basketball players to believe that they could possibly make it in basketball, because Allen Iverson was one of those undersized guys who played with a really big heart, as they like to say, played bigger than he actually was, and became a Hall of Famer in basketball. And one of the things that Allen Iverson always said, the reason why I'm mentioning Allen right now, he always said, I play every game like it's my last. When he had his infamous We Talking About Practice press conference, which I'm sure all of you know of. If you don't, you can go look it up on YouTube. It's all over there. Allen Iverson said in that press conference, after he made light of the absurdity, at least as far as he was concerned, of the fact that the reporters were asking him questions about his practice habits, Allen Iverson said, listen, aren't I the guy that goes out and plays every single game like it's my last? Aren't I the guy who's the franchise player? Aren't I the guy who's going out there and laying my body on the line and getting myself knocked down every single time I drive to the basket, because damn near everybody in the NBA is bigger than me? Aren't I the guy that does that every single time I play in the game? Don't I go out there and play every game like it's my last, but now we got to talk about this seemingly minuscule thing called practice? That's what Allen Iverson said there. And Allen Iverson, not even just in that press conference, but all the time he would say it. I heard him say it many times being in Philadelphia during his career. He always said that, I play every game like it is my last game. And if any of you watched Allen Iverson while he was actually playing, we would all have to agree. He absolutely did. He never took a night off. Allen Iverson was not a guy My favorite sports writer is Bill Simmons, and I've mentioned this before. Bill talks about this, that when he's evaluating a player and he really wants to see how great that player is, it's not about how many points they score or how high they jump or how swift their crossover or anything like that. Bill Simmons says he evaluates players by asking himself this: does that player show up every single game and play? The NBA season is 82 games long. That's a long season. You think of a game in the middle of an early March. So you're about 60, 70, maybe 60 games into the season. Your team is in a certain position, whether they're winning or they're losing, and you're playing against another team that doesn't really have anything to play for because they're a terrible team. Does that player show up on that night? And one of the things Bill Simmons said, you know, he's from Boston, so he has this hate relationship with the Los Angeles Lakers. He said, the best compliment I can give Kobe Bryant, because he moved out to L.A., Bill did, even though he's still a Boston fan. He said, I would go to Lakers games, and I never saw Kobe Bryant take the night off. I never saw Kobe not show up for a game. He always played hard every single game that he played in. And that's the best compliment that he could give to any athlete. And Allen Iverson was a guy who will come out and say, I never heard Kobe Bryant say that, but Kobe Bryant absolutely did fit that description. Allen would say it all the time. Tupac. We all know who Tupac is. Even if you were not even alive before Tupac died, you still know who he is. When Tupac came out of jail, and he made the album called All Eyes on Me, which is a classic rap album. If you like rap music, you should listen to that album. You might want to do it with your headphones on, not around no mom or dad or anyone who would be offended by profanity. But Tupac, once he came out of jail and he made that album and the next album, which was called Machiavelli, not Machiavelli, but Machiavelli, he rapped as if he knew he didn't have much longer to be alive. He absolutely did predict his death. Now, some people still believe Tupac's alive. I don't even know if he's alive or not, but he rapped as if he knew he didn't have much more time on this earth. He basically laid it all out there. You could hear it. You could hear the energy. You could hear the feeling, the emotion in his voice on those last two albums. And anyone who's listened to those last two Tupac albums, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Steve Jobs, in a book about him written by Walter Isaacson, Steve had a quote in there where he said, listen, I know that I'm not going to live long. I know that I'm not long for this earth. And he had told some friends of his and people who worked with him at Apple that he knew he wasn't going to live a very long life. And that gave him a sense of urgency to get things done, to complete things and do it as best he possibly could, because he knew he wouldn't have a whole lot of time to fix it or try again or do something else. That he had to make that roll of the dice that was his life the best roll he could possibly make it, because he knew that he might not live long. And Steve Jobs, I mean, I don't know what you consider to be long. I mean, he lived until he was what most of us would consider old, but he did die maybe before his time. He died of cancer. But what I want to talk about in today's episode is what you would do different. There are six specific things that I want to point out. What you would do different if your next chance actually was your last. And I want you to measure these six traits that I'm going to lay out for you here today against your last effort. Now, maybe this can help your next effort. I hope it does help your next effort. If it doesn't, then there's either something wrong with your ears or something wrong with what I'm sharing here today. But let's look at your last effort, because your last effort, you weren't thinking about this. So I really want you to measure what you did last against what I'm going to say here today, and then ask yourself moving forward, how can you bake these principles, these traits that I'm going to give you here today, these six traits, into your mind so that you bring this every single time you perform? Because if you can do that, what you're going to do is bring your whole performance up a whole new level. See, Allen Iverson could have performed at a normal, quote-unquote, level as if he had more games to play, as if there was another game tomorrow and conserve a little bit of his energy and emotion. He could have played like that every single game. He still would have been an all-star. He still would have averaged 20-something points per game. I don't know if he would have made the Hall of Fame. He still would have made all-star. He would have made himself a whole lot of money as a basketball player and gone down as a known guy. We would still know his name. But he wouldn't be an icon. He wouldn't be a legend unless he had these traits. So these people that I mentioned already, Allen Iverson, Tupac, Steve Jobs, and if you don't know much about Steve Jobs, read the book titled Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. I have referenced that book to you already. So if you haven't read it already, that means you weren't listening. So you need to get that book and read it. And either of these other guys, Tupac or Iverson, you want to learn about them, go online, Google them, and read up on these people. And if you already know about these people, then just look at those people and these traits that I'm giving you and ask yourself, do they embody them or do they not? And as I give you each of these traits, I want you to ask yourself, who do you know who best embodies these traits? People that you actually know, who best embodies these traits? And maybe if you can, have a conversation with them and ask them, listen, I heard this on a podcast. This person said this, who best embodies it? And I thought of you. Like, how do you bring that out of yourself? How do you do that? I guarantee that would be a very, very, very fruitful conversation for you if you're willing to go have it with whoever that person is. So ask yourself again, two questions you're going to ask yourself with every trade I give you here today. Number one, how would you rate yourself on it the last time you did your thing? Whatever your thing is, how would you rate yourself on this trait from the last time? Not the next time, but the last time you did it. So we know what your baseline is. And number two, what person do you know in your life who best embodies this quality? And go ask them. Make a point to ask that person. If you got to call them, text them. No, don't text them. If you got to call them, you got to see them in person and ask them, listen, I heard this on a podcast. I thought of you. How do you do this? How do you bring that out of you? Why are you like that? And you'll learn a lot from that person. Point number one, if your next chance was your last, you would be fully prepared to do what you need to do. If your next chance was your last, you would be fully prepared for that test at school. You will be fully prepared for basketball team tryouts. You will be fully prepared for the presentation you have to give at work. You will be fully prepared for that job interview. You will be fully prepared to record your next video or your next podcast episode. You will be fully prepared to do what you needed to do if your next chance was your last. I had a couple friends who were rappers when I was growing up. They were rapping. We would talk about their rapping. They would freestyle sometimes. We were on a block just hanging out. And one of the times he talked about, listen, we need to go to a studio. One of my friends was a rapper. He said, we need to go to a studio so we can record our raps, so we can make it sound audio quality, make a demo CD. And this is back in the 90s. So it was CDs. So I can get a demo CD, make a tape and all that. So we have some actual music that we can shop around to labels or whatever it is we're going to do. But one of the things he would always say, he was like, Dre, well, the thing is, when we get studio time, you know, studio time is not free. So if you're going to pay for studio time, you can't just go in there and just be like, all right, let's figure out what we're going to do now that we're in the studio. He's like, no, you got to go in the studio already ready. You got to have your songs ready. You got to have your hooks ready. You got to know what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, what sequence is going to go in. You got to have everything prepared before you go in the studio, because every minute you're in that studio is costing you money. So we can't go in there and just bullshit and try to figure it out on the spot. What was he talking about? Being fully prepared to do what he needed to do by the time he walked into that studio. If your next chance to do your thing was your last chance to do your thing, you would make sure you are fully prepared, because you know you're not going to get another chance at it. You can't say, well, I'll get that right tomorrow. It's okay. It's good enough now. Let me just get it right tomorrow. I'll make sure I prepare for the next one. I'll get the next one. I ain't really worried about that one. If you didn't have another chance, you would be fully prepared at what you do, would you not? Point number two. If your next chance was your last, you would absolutely give your best effort bringing your full self into your work. Now, I'm going to pause on that one a little bit and let you think about that a little bit. The last time you did your thing, did you give your best possible effort? Did you do the best that you possibly could? Or did you leave a little bit in the tank? Did you bring your full self into that work, or did you hold back because you know you need to conserve energy for the next time, or whatever else you needed to do after that, or what you did the day before, you didn't want to push it too hard? Did you bring your full self into it? If this was your last shot at it, you would give your best effort bringing your full self into it. And something that I didn't say at the top of the episode that I should have said, none of us knows how many more chances we got to do our thing, whatever our thing happens to be. Our thing could be having a conversation with our kids or with our significant other. Our thing could be just going to work and giving somebody a smile or just a kind word that makes them feel good. Our thing could be anything. We don't know how many more chances we're going to have to do that thing. All right, we all have heard the stories and see the tragic news of people who leave this planet, leave this earth, leave world, leave the life before their time. They weren't expecting it. They weren't expecting that car accident or that plane crash or that, you know, robbery turned into a murder. They weren't expecting those things. We don't know how many more chances we got to do our thing. So therefore, when we leave something in the tank as if we have something to save up for next time, listen, we don't even know there is a next time. That's disrespectful to our own life. It's disrespectful to the effort that we're giving, or the lack of full effort that we're giving when we do that. If next chance was your last, your best effort, you will bring your full self into it. Point number three. If your next chance was your last, you would tolerate no excuses, especially not from yourself. If your next chance was your last, there'd be no excuses. Going back to the example of my friend when they went into the studio, and it was two of them to rap. Let's say they show up to the studio, my friend, one of them, they're both my friends, but one of them is fully prepared, with got their raps and their lyrics ready, know exactly what they're going to do. And let's say the other friend, friend number two, just isn't ready, wasn't prepared, just mind is in a daze, wasn't even thinking about getting ready to do what they need to do, even though they were paying for the studio time. Friend number one, if he was following the principles I'm laying out here, he wouldn't get mad at his partner. He wouldn't even complain about it. He wouldn't say, man, how are you going to waste our time doing that? You didn't do this. You were supposed to do that. You know what he would do? He would say, all right, well, look, I already got twice as many raps ready as I thought I would need. Since you're not ready, I'm going to do all the songs and you could just sit here and watch me because I'm fully prepared and I'm not going to let you be the excuse for us wasting this money and wasting this time in the studio. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I read in the book Relentless, Tim Grover, great book about mental toughness and how it applies to athletes, specifically about athletics to me. He says it's not, but it's really about sports. And he says, Michael Jordan, every game, he would evaluate his teammates and he would find out who had really shown up that night because everybody had a uniform on, but not everybody showed up. And he would say, look, I know who showed up to play, and I know who didn't. All I need y'all to do, and this is what Grover is saying Michael was thinking, I just need y'all to keep the game close enough until the fourth quarter and then get out of my way and I'll do my thing and I'll pull us out of this. He didn't use his teammates as an excuse. Even if his teammates weren't good, if his teammate was injured, if his teammates just didn't play hard that particular night, if one of his teammates was just getting killed by the guy on the other team, he didn't use any of that as an excuse. He said, listen, this may be my last shot. He didn't say that out loud, but he played as if he did not feel he needed to leave something in the tank for the next game. He played every game like he knew he needed to put on the show, not only for the fans in the stands who may only be seeing him one time, but also because it was his job to do that, because it was his job as a leader. Because even the players on the other team said, oh, we playing against Michael Jordan. He knew he had to be Michael Jordan in all capital letters every single game. He did not make excuses and he would not tolerate excuses. What about you? Point number four, if your next chance was your last, you would leave nothing in the tank. You would leave nothing in the tank if your next chance was your last. Michael Jordan, in one of his own books, and I think he has three of them. I think it was the book Driven From Within, Michael wrote, and you can look that up on Amazon or something. He said, I will die with no bullets in my holster. And I don't think he means he's going to be in a Scarface scene where he's in a shootout with people. But he was saying, listen, when I'm done doing my thing, if I fall or if I fail, it's not going to be because I didn't give everything that I had. I'm going to empty the clip. Shoot every possible bullet that I have. That's the only way I'm going to lose. But I am going to try everything I could possibly try. He was going to leave nothing in his tank. Allen Iverson left nothing in his tank every single game. Now, you may be thinking right now, sometimes people think, well, I don't want to go and not leave anything in my tank because then I'm not going to have anything for the next day. Well, we had this thing called sleep. And we got this other stuff called food. And we got this thing called water. All right, those things will replenish you. You will have more energy tomorrow if you just go to sleep tonight. You would leave nothing in the tank. And if you knew this was your last chance, you wouldn't be worried about what time you got to go to bed or how much energy you're going to have next time, because there ain't no next time. Remember, if this is your last shot, there is no next time. So you're not worried about saving anything. You put everything out there. And here's the paradoxical thing, people. When you perform in a way that you know, or you at least have gotten your mind into the state that you know this is your last chance at it, and you leave everything out there, the next time, here's what you'll understand miraculously. Your mind and your body will teach you that even if you leave everything out there, you'll have that everything, quote unquote, all over again next time. And your level of achievement is going to go up that much more because you're giving everything you possibly have every single time. There's a story of, again, we'll go back to the Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan and the Bulls were playing against this team called the Los Angeles Clippers, I believe. It happened. There was this guy on the team named Stanley Roberts. Now, if you're a casual basketball fan, even a hardcore basketball fan, you may have never heard of Stanley Roberts. You would have to be in your mid-30s or older to even know who Stanley is. Now, Stanley Roberts, just to tell you who he was a center. He was a big guy in basketball, 7 feet tall, 300 pounds probably. Stanley Roberts was the starting center at Louisiana State University when this young, gangly kid enrolled at LSU. His name was Shaquille O'Neal. Stanley Roberts was the resident big guy, the big man on campus at LSU, literally big man on campus when Shaq showed up. So Shaq had to play against Stanley every single day in practice. And Shaq says this in one of his books. And Shaq wrote, I believe, two books. They're pretty good books. You should read both of them. If I mention a book on this podcast, go buy it and read it. Shaq said, when Stanley Roberts got mad in practice, anytime Stanley got mad, he would just destroy me. He would destroy everybody. He would just be unstoppable all day in practice or in the game anytime Stanley got mad. But, Shaq said, other than that, the times that he got mad, Stanley was content with just being okay. And the reason I'm bringing that up is to tell you this story. The reason I brought up the Bulls, LA Clippers. Stanley Roberts was playing for the Clippers. And one particular night against the Chicago Bulls, if Shaq is to be believed, I guess Stanley Roberts got mad for whatever reason. And Stanley Roberts just started destroying the Chicago Bulls on this particular night. He's just dunking on guys. He's doing all kinds of moves. The Bulls are trying everything. They can't figure out a way to stop this guy. And Stanley Roberts just completely dominates the Bulls on this particular night. Now, I don't remember if the Bulls won the game or not. But what happened after the game is the point. Is that after the game, according to the legend, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen went and came up to Stanley Roberts after the game. After he had dominated the Bulls the way that he did, win or lose, those two guys, and these are two of the greatest players in the history of basketball, came up to Stanley Roberts and confronted him after he dominated them. You know what they said to Stanley Roberts? You have any idea what they said? They said to him, "Stanley, do you have any damn idea how rich and famous you would be if you just performed like that every single game?" Now, who knows? Well, we actually do know if Stanley got the message, because since you probably never heard of Stanley Roberts before I brought him up, even if you're a basketball player, I guess he didn't take heed to that message. But the story is a great point. If he would have performed like that every single time, because he had just proved by doing it against the Bulls, the best team in the league, he had just proved that he was capable of doing it. It's not like he was incapable. He could have did that anytime he wanted to, if he wanted to. But he didn't want to, even though Michael and Scotty were telling him, "Hey, do you know what rewards are on the other side of you doing that all the time?" I guess it didn't matter to him. But hey, to each his own. I'm telling you for you, not about him. It's about you. You will leave nothing in the tank. Point number five. If your next chance was your last, distraction would be impossible. See, people come to me and say, "Dre, how can I stay focused and avoid distractions?" The question is a misnomer. The question doesn't even make sense. If you are focused, you can't be distracted. And somebody says, "How do I stay focused and avoid distractions?" Well, pick one. Which one is it? If you're staying focused, it's impossible to be distracted. Distractions only happen when you're not focused. All right, I'm focused right now on my voice going into this microphone, recording this podcast for the people who are going to be listening to it. I can't possibly be distracted by anything going on around me. There are a lot of things that could possibly be going on around me, or things I could just be thinking about. I could pull my phone out and get a whole lot of distractions if I wanted to. But because I'm focused, those distractions are not possible. As soon as I'm looking at something else that becomes a distraction, I'm automatically not focused. You can't be distracted and focused at the same time. Which one is it? You don't have to avoid distraction when you're focused. The very definition of focus is that distractions don't exist. If this was your last chance to do your thing, it would be impossible for you to be distracted simply because you know it's your last chance, which means you will bring your full focus into what you're doing. Steve Jobs, if you read the book, Steve Jobs, if you have not read that book, read the book. I don't know how many times I need to say it. I mean, you got his phone, you got his computer, you got his tablet. Steve Jobs was maniacal about getting things right. That iPhone that you're using, the Mac computer that you have, the tablet that you have, the beautiful design, the beautiful ideas. Even if you own a competitor, if you got an Android or what's the Surface or any of those other things that are just basically copying the innovation that Apple came up with, all of those things are inspired by what Steve Jobs did. We understand that, right? He brought those innovations to the world. It's because he was so focused on getting things done, not only getting them done quickly, he would push his people, his engineers, to get things done on deadlines that Steve arbitrarily came up with and were amazingly almost impossible deadlines. He always found ways to push his people to make those deadlines happen. Again, that's on the topic of persuasion, which I talked about in my favorite books episode when I talked about Win Bigly by Scott Adams. See, these are all things you got to be catching. If you didn't catch these things, you missed something. You got to go back and get it. Don't miss anything. Steve Jobs did not allow for distractions. He didn't allow for excuses. He was so focused on getting those things done, and he was such a leader. He made decisions and acted on those decisions that everyone else had no choice but to follow his lead just by the strength of his force of will. No distractions possible. Point number six. If your next chance was your last, you have a sense of urgency to everything you did. What is a sense of urgency? It is a sense of importance. Seeing whatever you're doing as important enough to require swift action. Urgency. Something that is important, which requires swift action. I talked about sense of urgency in episode number 408. At DreAllDay/408. That's what a sense of urgency means. If this was your last chance, you would have no problem taking swift action. You would have no problem seeing what you're doing as important. therefore it'd be impossible for you to be distracted. So you see how these all weave in together. If you only have one more chance to do your thing, let's recap today's topic. I'm going to tell you the 6 things you would do differently, maybe, than what you've been doing if this was your last chance to do it. Number one, you will be fully prepared to perform. You would not show up unprepared. Number two, you would give your best effort and bring your full self into what you do. No half-ass attempts. Number three, you would not tolerate excuses from yourself or from anyone else. And if anyone else had an excuse, you would immediately dismiss them and you would pick up the slack for anything they don't bring to the table. Not complain about them, not whine about them, not decide you're going to lose because of them. You would make up the slack on your own. Why? Because you only got one more chance to get it done anyway. Where are you going to tell the excuse to? Point number four, you will leave nothing in the tank. For what? You don't have another chance. This is your last one. You might as well give everything you got. And number five, there will be no distractions possible. You will be completely focused. Distraction is impossible when one is focused. And number six, you have a sense of urgency. All of these lead to a sense of urgency, meaning you see something as important enough to require swift action. Understand this, people. Even though the next time you go do your thing may not be your last time, it may indeed not be your last time. See, what stops people from applying these principles that I just shared is that we are all too logical and too smart to be fooled into thinking this is our last chance to do anything, right? We know, well, I'm going to be alive tomorrow. I've lived, what, it's 365 days in a year. So if you're 10 years old, you've already survived 3,650 days. If you're 20, twice as many as that. You're 30, 3 times as many as that. We've done a whole lot of surviving day by day. There's a high level of probability that you will survive past your next chance of doing your thing. Now, since we all know that logically, here's the thing that you really got to understand. This is also logical. If you are to apply these points, be fully prepared, give your best effort, don't tolerate excuses, leave nothing in the tank, give everything you have, no distractions possible, and have a full sense of urgency. If you do that on your next attempt, even though it's not your last attempt, here's what will happen. You will have all of your energy back, all of your skill back, all of your opportunity back the next time, the next time, the next time. They will replenish themselves. See, the things that you're not willing to do because you think you have more chances coming in the future and you need to reserve something, understand that if you do those things anyway, as if you didn't have another chance in the future, you would still have all of those resources back the very next time. This is something that paradoxically you can only understand once you go through it. Once you decide, you know what, I'm going to do this as if it's my last opportunity. And then what's going to happen is when you do things as if it's your last opportunity, here's what happens. You multiply your future opportunities. See, the people who hold back and try to leave something in the tank and say, you know what, I'm not going to give everything. You know, an entrepreneur comes to me and says, well, I want to put something online and maybe make some money. I say, all right, well, take your best stuff and start putting it out. They're like, well, how am I going to sell anything? I can't give them my best stuff. They're trying to hold something in the tank. Listen, if you give everything that you got, the best stuff that you have, you will come up with more good stuff. Why? Because good stuff creates more good stuff. It's the law of karma. You put the good out, you're going to get some more coming back to you. And if you're an expert, you're going to know more anyway. This is what I tell people all the time. This is what I told you. I did an episode on this very topic. Why I put my best stuff out there. I don't hold anything back when I do the Work on Your Game podcast. I'm not concerned with, oh, I don't want to put out too much good stuff because then people are going to say, well, I got everything I need out of Dre. It's not going to happen. Because when you put your best out there, you give your best possible effort, what happens is you get a full replenishment, a reloading of even more good stuff right after that. But you got to be willing to give everything that you have and go to completely empty, pushing all your chips into the middle of the table, knowing with faith, this is faith, this is not belief. Belief means you have proof. Faith means you have no proof that you're going to get it replenished back to you. You got to be willing to put yourself on the line like that in order to get more back. And when you get more back, here's what happens, people, and it's crazy. It's going to be even better than what you put out the first time. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. I got 4 things I'm going to give away to you for free at DreAllDay.com/game. Number one is my first book, Buy a Game. It is my early basketball story from when I first started playing up through my college years. You can get that PDF completely for free from me. Number two is How to Play as Well as You Practice. This is for athletes, entertainers, performers, salespeople, anyone who wants to make sure that your practice performance translates to the actual live performance. Number three, all you players who want to play basketball overseas, I have an exclusive video, How to Find Yourself an Agent to Help You Get Your Career Started. And number four, 101 Content Creation Ideas. For any of you who want to start a podcast, a blog, a website, write a book, be a speaker, 101 ideas for you to go put yourself out there that you will never run out of ways to come up with content. You can get all 4 of these free giveaways at DreAllDay.com/game. That is DreAllDay.com/game. You're welcome.
I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work On Your Game.